Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Instacart's Deal Week is coming up from December 17th to December 23rd. That means you can get up to 25% off holiday gifts for the whole family from stores like Best Buy, Bath & Body Works, PetSmart, and more. And you can get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Just think of it as Instacart's little gift to you. And while we're on the subject, why not get a little something for yourself, too? Shop Deal Week from December 17th to 23rd and save up to 25% on gifts. Discounts vary. Minimum spend, maximum discount, and exclusions apply.
What is up, everybody? It is Thursday, so we are at the Treasure Chest Casino as we count down to Thursday Night Football, 7 o'clock on 105.3 FM. Pelicans basketball over on 870 AM. Also gearing up, Monday Night Football this week is in Green Bay, the Green Bay Packers hosting the New Orleans Saints, and a matchup that everybody is interested in to see what's going to happen at quarterback. Derek Carr not practicing again today, dealing with that left-hand injury. We're saying that he's going to get through that concussion protocol, no problem, but that left hand still an issue for him. And the big one, though, Alvin Kamara not practicing with a groin issue. Coach Darren Rizzi stating that it's a little worse than they expected. They're going to do some more testing on it, but do not expect him to even play in this matchup on Monday night.
No, but we got a guy just come sit down. He can tell us all about that coordinating on that medical side of it. Dean Kleinsmith here with us and joining us at the Treasure Chest. Great to have you here, Dean. Great seeing you, brother.
Appreciate it. We're going to get into our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. Phil on the line first. What you want to say to me and Mike today? What's going on, Phil?
Hey, guys. Happy holidays to y'all.
Same to you, brother.
Mike, I was a little surprised that Clyde was a, what do you call it, a healthy scratch all season for the Chiefs. What was the problem?
Part of it, too, and he's admitted it, he has an incident that happened at LSU that he's still dealing with some post-traumatic stress issues with, and it got the best of him a little bit during the summer. Andy Reid worked with him on that to try to get him back on the field. It just didn't work in Kansas City, but to answer your question, that's pretty much what it was about.
Okay. Outside of that, as far as, he ought to have fresh legs then.
Yes, he should. And listen, he was a big part. Just hope the magic can come back for Clyde, because he was such a good player for Coach O and that 2019 national championship team. And he good all around back. And that one memory, somebody texted me yesterday, about the one memory you got about Clyde, Alabama. Late in the game, Clyde had rushed for over 100 yards. He catches 9 passes in that game. LSU's got to get a first down, or they got to punt it, and Tua would have one more shot to get him. Clyde getting that first down. Man, you should have heard. Man, we were doing post-game, Channel 4, me and Doug Mouton. Yeah. You'd have swore they had 20 people in there when Clyde got that first down. Man, I was so proud of Clyde, and great to see LSU win there. But that's that one big memory I have of Clyde in that Alabama game. And then him and his dad hugging on the field afterwards, and something about it.
Hopefully, Phil, we get a, you know, resurgence from him coming back home to Louisiana, maybe spark something in him, because obviously, yeah, everyone here is pulling for the guy. And unfortunately, like Mike was saying, for whatever reason, it just didn't work out in Kansas City.
And he's built like a little tank. I mean, he's a little over 5'7", but not much over. And, man, he's all at 215, 220. So when you hit him, you can't get too much lower than he is. So you better get him, and you better get him quick.
His build kind of reminds me of Mark Ingram. Would that be correct?
You know what it reminds me a little bit of? He's a little heavy. He reminds me a little bit of Dalton. Dalton Hilliard, because okay. Dalton was not a real tall guy either. But, man, Dalton was pieced together now. Man, from the waist down, Dalton was built. And sort of Clyde is in the same sort of build with that. And Mark's not that much bigger, to be honest with you.
Okay.
Phil, definitely appreciate the time. You got anything else?
No, that's it. Again, happy holidays to y'all. Appreciate
Same
it.
Same to you, bud.
From Phil, we're going to go to Mr. Bill. Oh, no, Mr. Bill's on the line. What you got for us today, Mr. Bill?
How you doing, Mike?
Hey, Mr. Bill. Oh, I know who you are now, brother. How you been?
I'm doing okay. I'll be 88 tomorrow.
Whoa, whoa. Hey.
Happy early birthday.
Early happy birthday to you, Mr. Bill. We miss seeing you. We were doing a pregame outside, and you would always come around. So, you're not doing no more relays, are you?
2 years ago, my wife took sick, and I had to take a leave from work.
Okay.
And that's the way with Walmart, 23 years, they took me off their payroll.
Oh, okay.
They stopped all my benefits and stopped all my pay.
Man, Mr. Bill, I hate to hear that, brother. I hate to hear it.
Well, and I'll be 88 tomorrow, and for 2 years, my wife's been almost bedridden, and I had to take and leave work and to take care of her around the clock.
God bless you. I know that's a difficult job. I had both my parents similar manner.
This year, I took and I missed most of the games, but that's the place I missed him in just 1956.
Hmm. Wow. Now, I know you were a regular there always. I used to see you long before Hebert, but that's really not saying a lot. Bob would come kind of rolling in at the 10 o'clock mark, but Mr. Bill was always there early for our pregame show.
Oh, yeah.
So what you seeing out of these Saints this year? How are you feeling about Spencer Rattler taking over at quarterback on Monday Night Football?
I guess it's all right. They all got to get a chance, you know.
But what we saw.
Telling you about is why they don't block out Moore for Kamara.
What were you saying about Alvin?
They don't block out for him enough. He can't run like he wants.
No, the O-line has definitely had its ups and downs this year. Too many downs, unfortunately.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you can't run if you don't get no blocking. That's the difficult part of playing running back.
Right.
Mr. Bill, great for hearing from you. I hope you have a great holiday.
All right, thank you. And tell Bobby hello for me.
I sure will. Man, put this on, Dino. We talked to Dean Klein-Smith, longtime trainer with the Saints, and got put in. Man, you were the auxiliary version of the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Proud of you, my man. Proud of you.
Did that this summer. That was
that was
quite
great.
Humbling. Yeah.
You see all the hamstring injuries, and that's one of the reasons why, first of all, we're glad that you stopped by and see us. But what do you think is the main cause of that? And it's not just with the Saints. It's all across the board.
No, it is all across the board and all across all sports.
Yes,
I mean,
exactly.
Look at the Pelicans.
Right.
But it has been a bane to the existence of athletic trainers since the beginning of time. I mean, the research is continues and continues, and just the injury still happens. I mean, unfortunately. A lot of different reasons. One of them is muscle imbalance. One of them is fatigue. One of them is, you know, lack of conditioning. Lots of different reasons.
Would diet play a part in that also?
Sure, absolutely. Absolutely.
And hydration.
And certainly dehydration is an issue. But it's been a problem. We just shake our heads at it. We used to classify them mild, moderate, severe, or grade 1, 2, and 3. Kind of depends on how long the guy's going to be out. And all the imaging that we do now is available, the CTs and the MRIs, so that you can do, you kind of get an idea of pretty much how long the guy's going to be out.
Wow.
But it's, I had one coach, one of the 13 head coaches that I had over my career. That
Dean, everybody say, Mike, you ought to write a book about everything. No, Dean ought to write the book.
No, I can't. No,
some of those guys are still alive. Dean, that might be a libel suit, but go ahead.
No, but what this coach said was, hey, whatever you tell me, the guy's ready to go back, I'm giving him 2 more days. I just want to, you know, just got to make sure.
Okay.
That just a little extra healing that's going on there with those muscles. But it's tough. And I sympathize with the sports medicine staffs that have to deal with them because
was that something that was really more, was prevalent when you first started, like, say, late 60s, 70s, mm-hmm. than it is today? I would say it's more today than back then, right?
Yeah, I think, and I'm not sure why that is, but, you know, maybe it's guys are bigger, taller, faster, stronger, you know, they're lifting more. There's more sophistication in the conditioning. But it just, all that being said, the injury still happens.
Yeah, and I don't know if you noticed, but our buddy Jim Nagy got interviewed today, general manager of the Jets. He got interviewed for that job today.
No kidding.
From the Senior Bowl.
I had dinner with him Tuesday night.
He kept that secret pretty good. I will give Jim credit on
wow.
that.
Wow.
Yeah, he got interviewed today with the Jets.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow. That might be pretty enticing to him, except his wife's from Mobile.
Exactly, because he's not from there. He's a Michigan guy.
You got it.
Could he stay still involved with the Senior Bowl?
No. If you're the GM of the Jets.
I was going to say, that'd be tough.
You're not taking no care of the Senior Bowl at that point. But, man, Jim does a great job with the Senior Bowl.
I know you've been
there. How many years you've been involved?
This will be my 54th.
Man, what?
I started in January 1972.
I know they had the Senior Bowl before you, but not too much.
not too much. You're right.
Your thoughts on the game today and the extension of the season now, which, Dean, we 17 today, and we just hop, skip, and jump away from 18 games in the season. And how guys will be able to hold up for an 18 games regular season.
Yeah, I think we're going to find out an awful lot about that. And then the short downtime, you know, 4 days, you know, Thursday night game, and then, they played on Sunday.
How'd you like to play a Wednesday game after you play a Sunday game?
I wouldn't like to do that at all. Not at all. Matter of fact, I believe my daughter works for the Texans over in Houston. She's been there 10 years. I think they play on Christmas Day. I believe.
Yeah.
So, there's going to be some rapid recovery, as we used to say.
Coaches love that.
People always tell me, how do they practice on those 3-day weeks? What? No practice. Dude, they ain't got no practice on a 3-day week.
Right.
You maybe have a walkthrough, you look at film, but practice? Yeah. That's for the unskilled when it's 3 days.
Exactly. And then the traveling team has got to fly a day before. So they're really, really down.
But I think, Dean, that is really going to dramatically change this game from a roster standpoint. How you look at your depth.
Yeah.
Because you got to keep those guys afloat for late in the year.
Yes.
Because now the calendar is going to get pushed back with everything.
Yeah. Well, and earlier you were talking about Jim Nagy at the Senior Bowl. I was there for a meeting Tuesday, and they've already got commitments from 110 players. They want to get 140. They want to get 70 guys on each team because one of the reasons is you got to look out for those injuries that might happen during the week.
And some of the guys, they'll practice because they know that's the most important thing. Man, they ain't playing in no game. I'm going to come for the practices, the game. Now, that's not normal the case. Normally is, I don't want to practice, but I want to play in the game.
Right.
But at the Senior Bowl,
opposite,
it is flipped.
Exactly.
We're taking a break here on Sports Walk. When we
return. Thank you, Dino. Appreciate it, buddy.
Appreciate
Thank you
guys.
So much.
I thought he was going to be hanging out with us.
If he wants, he can, but he's got
to
roll.
Thank you for the time. Taking a break. We'll be back when we get return to Sports Talk. Packers beat writer for the Green Bay Press Gazette, Ryan Wood, will join us as we get ready for Monday Night Football up in Wisconsin. We'll hear it all right after this. We're at the Game Bar and Grill at the Treasure Chest Casino. Sports Talk till 7 o'clock right here.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with 2 sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
On WWL. Welcome into Sports Talk. We are at the Game Bar and Grill at the Treasure Chest Casino. Now welcoming into the radio huddle, Ryan Wood, Packers beat writer for the Green Bay Press Gazette, also Green Bay Nation co-host on WFRV Local 5 TV. Ryan, thank you so much for the time today. How's it going up there?
You know what? It's a lot colder than where you're at right now. Let me paint this picture for you. Right now, I'm about to go into this Buffalo Wild Wings right after we get done talking. I'm sitting in my car, and we are currently getting pelted with snow. I mean, it is Green Bay a week before Christmas, and it should be – there's a real possibility it's going to be like that Monday night. 60% chance of snow here at Lambeau Field for Monday night's kickoff against the Saints. We'll see. You know, it's wintertime in Green Bay.
The script writers wouldn't have it any other way, right?
It's pretty. The problem is you got to shovel it, and that's not fun. You know. And if you live up here and this, you're like, I've seen snow, you know. I mean, if you're not used to it, it's like, oh, that's pretty, especially at Lambeau Field. There's nothing in the NFL like a snow game at Lambeau Field. It turns into this giant snow globe. It's kind of cool, but the shoveling's not fun.
Ryan, I was going to ask you, you grew up in the Midwest?
I did, North Central Indiana. Now, we got winter there too, but it's a little different in Green Bay.
I would think so, just a little bit. Talking about the Packers team, I think the big difference this year is how well they're coached on the defensive side of the football. Bobby Hebert and I were talking about this Monday night. He was like, what's the big difference? I said, one, they got Josh Jacobs on offense. And secondly, would you look at how well they play on the defensive side of the football? And, man, I think about the linebacker y'all got in round two. I saw him play, scouted him at Covington High School in Louisiana. He was not a top 12, 14 guy in the state of Louisiana. He signs with Texas A&M. He was the most improved player in the Southeast Conference a year ago. And what he's done this year, he's one heck of a player. But I do think you guys made the right choice at defensive coordinator. He has put all the pieces in place. They're really playing some great defense in Green Bay.
You know, Jeff Hafley is awfully creative, and we've seen that all season. He's got a lot of versatility and flexibility within his scheme, which is helpful because, you know, if plan A doesn't work, you got to have contingencies. You got to have a plan B, C, D. And not every defense coordinator, Joe Barry, before Jeff Hafley, if something didn't work, the game plan, there was nothing to fall back on. It was just, well, you're stuck in this now for four quarters. It's not like that with Jeff Hafley. If something doesn't work, he can go to something else, and he's got a lot of tools in his bag. But I think the thing that he's done the best is, what is coaching? Coaching is maximizing your best players. It's getting talent from all your players, but really your stars, you want your stars to shine. Edrin Cooper, who you mentioned, now a two-time NFC Defense Player of the Week as a rookie. That's maximizing a young kid that was the first linebacker taken out of the draft, has a ton of speed. They put him all over the field. He blitzes a lot. There's a lot of things that they can do with him, and that's putting him in positions to make plays. Xavier McKinney, another great example, right? He's been the best safety in the NFL this season. He's always been good. Xavier McKinney was all, it's the reason why he had a big free agent price tag this spring. He's always been a good safety with the New York Giants. He's never been this good. Jeff Hafley has something to do with that. So he's really maximized the talent that he does have on the field.
Also, Javon Bullard is also another guy. I was telling this to Steve, and he was a good college player. He's been a better pro player. Now he's dealing with an ankle injury, but that's another guy kind of right off the college campus and the impact he's had on the Packer defense.
Yeah, you know, they've got a lot of young guys. It was a big defensive draft class, and they've brought those guys in, Edrin Cooper, Javon Bullard, Evan Williams, fourth-round safety. And they've been really smart with how they've used them. You know, for example, Edrin Cooper, this season, he's only played 35% of the snaps. Now, he had a three-game absence because of a hamstring injury, but they brought him along slow to the point where now it's a possibility that he could really close strong. He's going to be fresh. He's not running into that rookie wall. Same with Javon Bullard, who you mentioned, Evan Williams. We'll see if Javon Bullard plays this week. He missed last week's game in Seattle with an ankle injury. It's up in the air right now. It's kind of early in the week still, so we'll see. But he's been very versatile. He plays slot, play back in safety. They move him around quite a bit in the secondary.
One of the things, Ryan, I posted it on my X account or Twitter account, Jordan Love, coming to the Manning Passing Academy, and he's got, you know, Peyton Manning watching him in the drills. And you've seen the progress with Jordan, and it was kind of a rough ride maybe early. And then finally he got the baton, and, boy, you see it. He's not fully developed yet, but, boy, does he have a ton of talent at that quarterback position.
Yeah, there's still room for him to grow as a quarterback. He's still, as much as he's come in and had success right away, there's still more out there for him, which is a scary thing because he's been pretty good. If the Packers win Monday night, they clinch a playoff spot, and it'll be the second time in as many seasons that they've gone to the playoffs with Jordan Love. If you would have said that 3 years ago, 4 years ago, when Aaron Rodgers was in the twilight of his career here in Green Bay, that when Aaron Rodgers leaves, the first two seasons with Jordan Love, they're going to the playoffs, I'm not sure how many Packers fans would have believed you, but everyone would have signed up for that. I mean, that just does not happen, and they're in the midst of doing that. Week three last season is going to be very likely a game that lives in Packers lore and Jordan Love's lore. Obviously down 17-0 at home against the Saints and the fourth quarter comebacks. That was the first time that really Jordan Love showed the traits that have gotten him to where he is now. He's unflappable. there's nothing that shakes him. It doesn't matter if you're down 17-0 in the fourth quarter. He keeps playing. He keeps finding a way to make plays. He's never out of it, and he knows how to win. And when you have that at the quarterback position, a winner, which the Packers do, sky's the limit.
One of the things, too, is your addition of Josh Jacobs in the offseason and covered him at the University of Alabama. And talking to teammates of his, they were like, man, he's the toughest guy on the team. But if you understand how he grew up, football's not that tough. Man, life was tough for him to get to this point. And you see his in-between-the-tackle running skills, and he's got enough juice. He can hit the edge. He's a good receiver coming out the backfield. Against Seattle, he was a tilt-the-field guy against the Seahawks. And I think nothing against Aaron Jones, who's a good football player, but Josh Jacobs is an upper echelon running back in the National Football League.
Yeah, you mentioned the way that Josh Jacobs grew up. You know, he moved around a lot as a kid, and he's always just kind of wanted to find that home for himself, and he wanted to be the Raiders, but the business side of it got in the way. He's found that home for himself here in Green Bay, and what he's done is changed the identity of this Packers offense. I mean, through the decades, even with Aaron Jones before him, who is a phenomenal running back in his own right, having a big season as expected with the Minnesota Vikings, absolutely beloved in that Packers locker room for seven seasons. Throughout the decades here, it's been Hall of Fame quarterback, passing game, that's the identity of the offense. Spread it around, air it out. This Packers offense with Josh Jacobs is different. They are a punchy-in-the-mouth, ground-and-pound, Josh Jacobs in a cloud of dust type of offense. And it's changed even play call. Like third and five now, it's kind of like a rundown because you might be able to set yourself up for fourth down and get two cracks for 5 yards on the ground. Josh Jacobs brings that element. He also establishes balance right out the gate. Last week in Seattle, the first eight plays, Josh Jacobs touched the football on every single one of them, two catches, six runs. On the 11-play opening drive, he touched the ball on nine of them, the last play being a one-yard touchdown, which he has now six or seven this season, touchdowns from the one-yard line. The physicality, the balance, that balance especially helps Jordan Love because once the defense is being pulled to the line of scrimmage, the deep passing game and having a quarterback that can make those throws, it all comes together.
Ryan, when you look at the roster, obviously you're talking about the weather conditions there too. Odds makers recognize it totally. Huge underdog, the Saints coming into this matchup on Monday night. But if there's a weakness on this Green Bay Packers team, what is something that if New Orleans has a chance in this matchup that they can exploit?
Their biggest problem all season and the biggest concern for this Packers team as they head into the playoffs is going to be the pass rush. Now, they just had their second-best pass rush game all season against Seattle. They had seven sacks, 12 quarterback hits. The only other time all season that they've had a pass rush game like that was week three against Tennessee and Will Levis. They had eight sacks week three. But that has been kind of the hidden piece, the missing, the absent part of this defense that's been quite good. It's a bona fide top defense all season, is getting home on the quarterback. They did it last week. I think this is going to be very interesting. You know, for the Packers right now, they're going to the playoffs. They've got three games left, and it's very possible that they're just going to be locked into that sixth seed in the NFC when you look at the rest of the conference landscape and how that that shakes out. So it's about, in these three games, maximizing their chances to make a run. And pass rush is where it starts. This, you know, you look at the rankings, the stats throughout the league, Saints haven't given up a lot of sacks this season. I mean, they're in the bottom 10 of a fewest sacks allowed. So I think this is a good test for a Packers pass rush that is coming off a really promising week, potentially a springboard week. Can they do it again against a Saints offensive line, Saints offense that has protected the quarterback better than a lot of other offenses in the league this season?
Ryan, definitely appreciate your time. Hopefully you don't have to dig out on Monday to get to the stadium.
Hey, let it snow, right? It's Green Bay in the winter.
Ryan Wood, Packers beat writer for the Green Bay Press Gazette. Always a great time. Thank you so much. Taking a break. We'll be back with more sports talk after this, talking to the voice of the Florida Gators, Sean Kelly, when we return as they get ready to take on Tulane in the Gasparilla Bowl. Coming back with more sports talk at the Treasure Chest Casino on WWL after the break. Back here on Sports Talk at the Treasure Chest Casino. Happy to break down now the Gasparilla Bowl tomorrow in St. Pete, Florida on Tropicana Field between the Tulane Green Wave and Florida Gators. To help us with that matchup, the voice of the Florida Gators, Sean Kelly, joining us now. How are you been, Sean?
Been well, guys. Great to talk to you. Looking forward to a game against Tulane, and I just saw Tulane in their championship game recently, so it feels like old times for me in some ways.
Sean, when we do pregame for LSU and I'm driving back home, I always catch Florida football. It, for whatever reasons, it's on. Man, you do a fabulous job. I'm going to be honest with you. And not just because you talking to us now, but, man, you do a great job covering the Gators. And, you know, to see all those Louisiana connections with Florida today. But I think one of the things with Billy Napier, and it's always a part of his DNA, is his ability to run the football. If it was at UL, it was the same way. And now that you got all the guys healthy, if it's Montrell Johnson, who played at De La Salle and was with Billy and Lafayette, and then the young freshman and Jaden Ball, and then Jacoby Jackson, that's what Billy wants to do. He wants to wear you down in the running game, and then he can take care of the passing because he sets everything up for the young quarterback. And I think getting the running backs in line has been a big part of their success down the stretch.
Yeah, Mike, first of all, thanks for the kind words. But, yeah, I mean, the Napier secret here is he wants his quarterback to be able to read the box. So if you're running the ball effectively, they can't lighten the box and then or go more of a balanced look and cause your quarterback to make some tough decisions. If you're running the ball effectively, that defense has to stay honest with regard to how they want to lighten or weigh down the box, and it allows the quarterback to make decisions. It's also about playing complementary football, which if you look at the Gators and how their season turned around, it was how they controlled the line of scrimmage on both sides of the football, and then that allowed offense not put the defense in bad positions, and then also defensively to start taking the football away and giving the offense more of those possessions to then run the ball and hang on to it, kind of a Napier way. So when all that stuff started to kind of come together, that's when Florida's season started to turn in the right direction.
Also, too, to get DJ Lagway back healthy, because, man, it's kind of a crazy situation because you had a veteran quarterback in Graham Mertz. He goes down in game one. DJ, hey, kid, get in there. Make it happen. Then he gets hurt. But you saw the maturation of DJ along the way. And, you know, I saw a little of him in high school. I understand why basically every school in America was after him. He's that talented. He can sling it. He's got enough mobility skills to buy him a little time, but he can put a ball in a tight window, and he's got some fearlessness that's not in him. He's willing to take that chance with a ball downfield because he trusts his arm.
I've just never been around a kid at his age that is like him, off the field, on the field. I mean, smooth is a good word to talk about. What you mentioned as far as his improvement, you know, you see improvement in chunks with young players. Seeming like every week there was something new in the progression, right? And then he's put in a rough spot. They have to go from the two quarterback system when Mertz gets hurt, like you said, get in there, kid, and show him how to do it. You know, his first career start against Georgia. Come on, let's be real about this. He is really good on the deep ball, Mike. I remember in the spring, the first thing you notice is the size, and then this ball that just kind of like a racquetball coming out of his arm.
Yeah,
it's just firing off. But he was missing a lot. His footwork wasn't great. Well, now that he's, you know, figured out some of the mechanics, you know, like you said, he can put it in the tight window. He's more sure about his decisions. And we really haven't seen him use his legs as we all thought he might, because early on he was in a platoon situation and then the big old hamstring injury that really slowed him down for several weeks. So we might get to see some of that here in this bowl game to wrap up his freshman year, but just the way he conducts himself, the way the team kind of rallied around him, I'll give his teammates credit. When they were presented the fact that for the rest of the way your quarterback's going to be this true freshman, they did everything in their power to try and get him in the right position and not have him running for his life and get the run game going so that he had more balance to see that box. And, you know, all those things kind of started to click. You know, obviously the injury was just a part of a pretty wild roller coaster for the Gators. It's been one of the more strange seasons I've been around, guys, but here they are. They could win four in a row to end this thing, and I don't want them to do it against my old friends at Tulane, but that's probably what it's going to take.
A few years back, we had the Louisiana Line Camp. I'm sitting with Pete Jenkins, and Haynesville High School had brought about six guys there. And Pete says, Mike, who, and I'm going to clean it up, who's that guy that's working out there? It's Cam Jackson. Now, Cam was recruited by LSU, but, you know, that was some great issues. He goes to Memphis, and he ends up now at Florida out of the transfer portal. You talk about a big man on the field. Man, Cam Jackson, he's a huge guy, and you can't miss him out on that football field.
Yeah, 6'6", 342. He could make his 36th career start. But think about that journey. Obviously, Haynesville, Memphis, ends up in the SEC. He's going to be in the NFL. I mean, the size just blows you away. But he moves so well, and he's learned a few things about playing defensive line this year.
Sean, thanks so much for giving us some time. Have a great call tomorrow. 2:30 Central kickoff. We'll definitely be tuned in.
Thank you, Sean.
All right, guys. Thanks. Cheers. Merry Christmas.
Sean Kelly, voice of the Florida Gators, joining us there, taking a break. We'll be back with more of Sports Talk right after this here at the Treasure Chest Casino on WWL. Closing out the 5 o'clock hour here on Sports Talk. Next hour, we're going to get into some Pelicans talk. Ali Cosell, credentialed NBA writer, will be joining us to break it all down right after this. So stay tuned on WWL.